So there isn't actually any contact, physical contact, between Jesus and this group of lepers. And he just tells them to go and show themselves to the priest. This is what people with leprosy needed to do when they thought that they were cured, as it was the priest who could say that they were cleansed and allow them back into normal society. And verse 14 tells us that as they went, as they turned around and went to find the priest, they were cleansed. One of them came back because he realized that he was healed. This time, because he was healed, he could approach Jesus closer. And as he got to Jesus, he fell at his feet, thanking him. This one particular person had a revelation of who Jesus really was, one who should be worshipped, one who could heal, perhaps one who was God. And Jesus questions where the other nine were and realizes that the person in front of him was actually a Samaritan, someone who was doubly an outsider to Jesus. We learnt about that when we looked at the story of the Samaritan woman. And Jesus, instead of keeping his distance from that person, instead issues a blessing, telling the man to rise and go and commending him for his faith. So what can we learn about Jesus from this encounter? Just three things this morning. Just as we considered last week with the woman with the issue of blood, we can see here once again one of many healing stories in the Gospels, that Jesus has the power to heal. We recognized last week that there are complexities with a belief that Jesus healed and can still heal today. But once again, here we see it, Jesus healing people. Once again, we see Jesus making people who were unclean, clean, restoring their dignity, identity, and destiny of those outside of his society. And the fact that he saw people with an overriding compassion. He didn't see their difference. He saw their humanity and their need. In this story, Jesus' power to heal is such that he even heals from a distance. There's no touch involved. There's no touch of him reaching out to them. There's no touch, like last week, of the person needing healing reaching out to Jesus. Instead, from a distance, his power is to heal. A mere encounter with Jesus heals. And this should perhaps encourage us in our belief of healing today. We are not going to meet Jesus face to face unless he comes again in our lifetime or when we go to glory. But we can experience his healing even though he is not physically present with us. Secondly, Jesus commends faith. Again, we see that there is faith active in this healing. And last week, we acknowledged the fact that that belief that there is faith connection to healing can be used to condemn people. And especially if the healing that they receive is not what they want, and all sorts of very negative things can be said. But we must recognize that here again, Jesus responds to the faith of the leper, particularly the one that recognizes who he is at a deeper level. Jesus is fulfilling his teaching that we see in the Sermon on the Mount, that when we ask, we receive. When we seek, we find. Faith is part of healing in some regard, both the physical and the wider restoration of the whole person. If we're seeking healing from God today, it's faith that drives us to seek it from him, to pray. And here we see Jesus responding to that. Finally, we see that Jesus values gratitude. Jesus comments on the man's gratitude and praise for his healing, and he responds by blessing him. I wonder what sort of things that you shared when you were asked what you were grateful for this week. I think the things that we can be grateful for often fall into two categories for us, particularly as Christians. We can be grateful for physical things, for provision, for health, for the relationships and opportunities that we have. This week, I've been grateful every time I've turned on the tap. knowing that I have running water and a safe place to live, unlike those that are living in Gaza at the moment. Every morning when I've sent my children off to school, I've been grateful that my children can go to school without fear, unlike the children here and in other places in North London going to Jewish schools that are fearful in our local community. These physical things are common to all of humanity. But as Christians, we have another layer of things that we have received through Christ that we can also be grateful for. We are grateful for our salvation, the assurance of our salvation, our identity in Christ, our knowledge of our value to God, the forgiveness that we have received, the peace and the strength that God gives us, the healing that he has provided to us. It is very easy for us to forget what Christ has won for us, especially if we've been in faith a long time. It's so easy to take it for granted. Perhaps the men who didn't come back to thank Jesus took it for granted. Maybe somewhere in their minds, they knew that he would heal them or thought that they would heal them, and the job was done. And we can feel that sometimes about our salvation. We can take it for granted. But these blessings are because we are in Christ. Others do not have them. Now, gratitude is good for us. It's well documented. Remembering things to be grateful for is often almost prescribed for people who are struggling with their well-being. But gratitude can also be a powerful witness to the world. I think of gratitude as accessible evangelism. Evangelism is sharing the good news. And we often think about that as, you know, sharing good news, you know, telling people that Jesus died for them and that, that you know, he wants to be in a relationship with them. But there's lots and lots of good news in our lives. Good news of God's physical provision to us and God's provision of the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. It's a really easy way of telling people about Jesus. We can tell people who don't yet know Jesus what we are thankful in our lives. Perhaps sometimes we have those conversations. People say, how are you? And you can say, oh, you know, I have a lot to be thankful for this week. I'm really thankful that. And you might share with them a physical blessing that you are experiencing, but attribute it to God. Or perhaps say, you know, I'm really good actually, I'm really secure in who I am. I know that God loves me and that's really helping me at the moment. Sometimes we have to start by acknowledging the spiritual blessings that we have ourselves. We have to actually know what we have in Christ, and scripture can help us with that. We are going to, the other thing that we can do, the other thing that reminds us of our spiritual blessings is the songs that we sing, particularly the songs that we sing in church. There's lots of songs of our blessing and thankfulness. And that's what we're going to do now. We're going to sing some songs of gratefulness and thankfulness to God, of the blessings that we have received, particularly our spiritual blessings, before we join with one another, before we pray together, and then we're going to join in communion. Communion is also a place of thanks. But I'm going to start by reading from the Psalms again. Reading from Psalm 103. In fact, it would be great if you could join me in reading this together. Perhaps we can stand if you're able, and we're going to say these words from Psalm 103 together, and then we're going to go into our first song, Give Thanks with a Grateful Heart. So let's say this together. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle's.